Good morning, everyone. I'd like to call the House Legacy Finance Committee meeting to order. Mr. Molzan, would you be willing to call our roll, please?
Chair Lilly.
Lilly present.
Vice Chair Jordan.
Jordan present.
Minority Lead Green.
Present.
Representative Akam.
Present.
Representative Anderson. He's just joining now. Representative Bo.
Present.
Representative Christensen.
Present.
Representative Hassan.
Present.
Representative Murphy.
Present.
Representative Nelson.
Present.
Representative Erdahl.
Present.
Representative Wasliwick.
Wasliwick present.
Representative Jean.
Here.
And Representative Anderson.
Anderson present.
We have a quorum, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Molzan. And we're open for business. So Vice Chair Jordan, would you be willing to move our minutes from our March 23rd meeting, please?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Vice Chair Jordan. Any questions regards to those minutes? I see none. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Those opposed? The minutes have been approved. Thank you, Vice Chair Jordan. Well, good morning, folks. Today we're visited by Representative Hansen, Chair Hansen of the Environment Committee, and they've taken a look at the water appropriations. There's some money that exists on the bottom line, as we've all discussed through the session, and they've come up with a proposal that they feel could be good uses of those funds. But we have Representative Hansen here. We actually do not have a bill before us, but I think it's important that we have a discussion because we may incorporate these as we work through the bill, or we might include some of these in some of our own changes. So Representative Hansen, good morning. And if you could take us on a journey of your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Before we start with your indulgence, I just want to thank the nonpartisan reviser staff. This is a very busy time. And the reason you have House File 4377 and then the DE is because we didn't get the committee report approved in time for processing. So hopefully that will happen today, and the full bill will be in your possession. So thank you, Mr. Chair, for hearing this. And you know, the folks that work upstairs usually are hidden, but they are working very hard right now, and I wanna thank them for their work.
So true, they do a great job. Thank you, Representative Hansen, go ahead.
Mr. Chair, so House File 4377, I think this committee and other committees, including capital investment, have heard about CREP, the Conservation Reserve Enhancement Program. And the original vehicle bill was additional funding for CREP. I think one thing that's important, and I'm not sure if you've heard here, but we have, often we think of the dollars needed for CREP, but really the contract was for acres. And so the Board of Water and Soil Resources has testified that we can go up to 60,000 acres of voluntary conservation, bringing in $2 for every dollar that we spend. It's one of the best deals we have in state government, brings in federal money and for voluntary conservation practices that help out clean water. So that means that we, instead of having about $9 million that we need to continue to appropriate, we have $45 million that we could allocate to bring us up to that 60,000 acres. So that was the base bill. We put some money in here, so that was clean water, but hopefully there will be additional dollars in my budget and in capital investment as well, so that we are not solely funding this out of clean water or out of heritage as been funded in the past. So I'm going to walk through the appropriations. And Mr. Chair, you remember 3 years ago, we spent a lot of time on plastics and microplastics. So as we begin going through the bill, you will see microplastics in each of the agencies. This was the original proposal from 3 years ago where we do a lot of water quality monitoring in Minnesota. Each of the agencies do their own little part. So we're asking them to look for microplastics and nanoplastics when they are doing that research. And Mr. Chair, you may remember 3 years ago, we also did not have a definition for microplastics or nanoplastics, and we've discovered we don't even have in statute a definition of plastics. So this bill with the DE defines those three things. So we have some agreed upon definitions for those items. You can't manage what you can't measure. So even if you don't get any appropriation, those definitions are really important for the future. I would just note there's almost daily press about the presence of microplastics in our environment. And last week there was a reported research, there's microplastics in our blood. It's in us. We are part of the environment. And so 3 years have gone by since the initial attempt for us to be funding microplastic and nanoplastic research. It's clearly time to be ramping up this look now in all of our water quality monitoring efforts. So you will see the Department of Agriculture.
Representative Hansen, when you turn your head sideways, you cut out a little bit. And it happened earlier and I almost caught you then, but I just want to catch you now before.
Okay, so I'll walk through the bill at the best.
We want to hear your words.
The Department of Agriculture has a $2 million appropriation to look for neonicotinoids in trout streams and also to look for microplastics as well. So the Department of Ag's monitoring network would be looking for microplastics as well as neonicotinoids. There have been some analysis of surface water with USGS. But as you know, Mr. Chair, we've also been looking for the presence of neonicotinoids in deer. There was a collection of deer spleens and found that it was in deer. We think it's important to look in water for neonicotinoids. PFAS, and anybody who lives in the East Metro or Bemidji or anywhere in the state knows the impacts with PFAS, perfluoroalkyl alkyl and polyfluoroalkyl substances. And we are asking money, $2 million to go to the PCA to monitor tributaries and trout streams along Lake Superior. Representative Murphy, I don't know if you saw the advisory where the surrounding states looking at smelt, I think Minnesota now too, looking at the presence of smelt, having PFAS in smelt and having an advisory there. So looking for those trout streams and tributaries for presence of PFAS is really critical. We all know that smelt fishing is part of Minnesota's history and culture. So there's $2 million to look at monitoring private wells in Washington County. So there's efforts going on for public wells in Washington County looking for the PFAS in private wells to do additional monitoring there. Also, in our committee, Representative Zhang had a bill setting up a task force on Pig's Eye Lake, Pig's Eye Dump, and the dump that is there. And there was testimony about a variety of nasty chemicals that they're finding just in the heron rookery and in the lake south of the dump. So we want to do a little broader look on that, kind of farther down the Mississippi and south of Pig's Eye to see what the extent of that contamination is for those chemicals. And Mr. Chair, am I still coming in clear? Clear enough. That it's important, you know, all of these appropriations we believe meet the constitutional requirements for the Clean Water Fund. All of these are based on testimony that we have heard in our committee. They have not gone in front of the Clean Water Council. If they had to, we would be waiting another year or more until a bill would be passed. So the reason to spend this money now is the important environmental issues here with clean water and these particular contaminants. In addition, we talked about Pig's Eye, but above Pig's Eye, and Mr. Chair, and you may remember on some bonding tours, I think we looked at Battle Creek, and it was foaming on Battle Creek. I think the PCA has done some work on Battle Creek looking at PFAS, but looking at the whole Battle Creek watershed for PFAS, maybe some more extensive monitoring there to get a better handle on what's involved. Next up is an existing program, the Get the Lead Out program. I think, what is it about lead, Representative Jordan, that no amount is safe? So this would be for collecting lead sinkers with the PCA to kind of jumpstart that and give it additional dollars. They've received some funds under some settlements, but this would provide for more extensive collection of lead sinkers. And the other activities, just to be clear, are to promote that program, you know, so that you can't just put a box out and say, assume that people are going to put the lead into it. You've got to do a little bit of promotional effort. On lines 2.4 is, again, the definitions that we referenced about putting definitions of plastics into law and then having the $5 million appropriation. Line 2.23, peatlands. Representative Lippert has had a particular focus on peatlands and their efforts not only for water quality protection, but also for greenhouse gas emissions that, as peat breaks down, it releases carbon into the atmosphere. So this would be a report on Minnesota's peatlands that all the agencies would be working on with some small appropriations and how to protect and restore them. And report back. And I note here it says committees with jurisdiction in the environment and natural resources. I think that includes legacy as well, Mr. Chair. I want to make sure it does. And then a DNR appropriation for microplastics. Next up is PREP. As I mentioned before, the original bill had, I believe, $3 million. This would increase that up to $7.665 million for PREP. And again, this would bring in $2 for every dollar we have. And then it has an equal amount kind of focusing CREP on the peatlands. So trying to restore that. Again, this is a voluntary conservation program. It's not taking any land. This is voluntary. So you get kind of a double benefit of water quality and climate protection. Next up, $7.665 million for the Met Council for lead lines, lead service, drinking water service lines. This is Representative Jordan's initiative. So we have amount of 7.665 for the Met Council, and I believe later there's an equal amount for the PFA, so that it's going both rural and urban. And next up on 4.3, you may remember the bill last year, Chair Lilly, about looking for the toxic tire-derived chemicals. So as we use our cars, our tires shed some material that gets into water. There's research on salmon on the West Coast. This appropriation is in the Clean Water Fund. It was a proposal in the LCCMR. I'm just doubling up here so that we can make sure this is a kind of a hidden but important water quality effort. Here's the next up is the PFA lead service lines. And that is the bill. I believe there was one other, and I may have skipped over it. There was an appropriation to the Minnesota Conservation Corps for water quality. So I want to make sure that is in there. Mr. Hagemeyer may, if he's on, may reference that. So that is the bill.
Thank you, Representative Hansen, for going through that. I see a question from Representative Murphy. Good morning. Go ahead when you're ready, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Hansen, you're using the same figures, $7,665,000. In several different places. Is this three times the amount, or is it the same $7,665,000?
Representative Hansen.
Mr. Chair and Representative Murphy, that is each one of those appropriations would be 7.665. So it's not the same. It is in addition. Each one is additional. The total appropriation should be 47.5 million.
Thank you. Thanks for that clarification.
Representative Hansen, did you want me to go to Mr. Hagemeyer?
Yes, if he could just, I think that Conservation Corps was in there, but I may have skipped over it.
I saw he popped up and then I, Mr. Hagemeyer, good morning. Please introduce yourself and thank you for all your work. And please go ahead, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. I'm Brad Hagemeyer, the Nonpartisan Health Fiscal Analysis Department. Representative Hansen was referencing the appropriation to the Conservation Corps of Minnesota. That's on line 3.4 of the DE. It's $500,000 to the Conservation Corps for restoration and enhancement activities to improve water quality, including stream bank stabilization. And then just to answer the other question, the 7.665 million is used four times. The bill total is $47,399,000, and that brings the Clean Water Fund right to the 5% reserve level.
Okay. Let's see. Representative Acom, go ahead. Good morning.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Chair Hansen, for presenting your bill today. I had a couple of questions and kind of a comment mixed all in. Certainly, climate change is an issue that I focus on quite a bit at the legislature, and I think there are some provisions within this proposal that address that. And as we all know, we can't wait any longer. Addressing climate change is certainly an urgent issue that we all need to be addressing. And so really that's more of a comment and a thank you for bringing this forward, because I do think waiting through a whole nother year when these dollars are being left on the bottom line is I would almost say irresponsible. And so I appreciate the fact that we're talking about this today. And my question for you is about an issue that's kind of related to climate change, and it's around environmental and climate justice. And so within the provisions that you have here, are there priority areas that will be addressed to address environmental justice?
Thank you, Representative Acom, and thank you for all your work on these issues. You've clearly been a leader and made us all better for it. Chair Hansen?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Acom. I think the lead service lines clearly are important for environmental justice, but I would highlight the Battle Creek watershed, PFAS. You know, that is there's environmental justice concerns there, and downstream people are eating the fish. They're fishing in those areas, and we need to know what's there. And so there's people that fish for subsistence. When I go down by the river south of Pig's Eye Lake, I see people fishing in my district. On both sides of the river, I see people fishing. So we need to know what's there. So I think the Washington County sampling the wells, looking below Pig's Eye Lake, and looking for in the Battle Creek area, those are important. On the climate stuff, I believe the CREP landowner thing, that is both carbon sequestration for long-term storage of carbon, but focusing on the peatlands is something new where we get an extra bang for the buck on greenhouse gas emissions. I also believe on the Lake Superior, looking at PFAS there, there are environmental justice areas for PFAS along Lake Superior that would be important. And again, subsistence fishing, eating smelt or trout in those areas is important. And I believe we have some ability for this to be used in Bemidji or elsewhere along the river as well. But if that is not clear, we can highlight that. So those are, Representative Acom, those are kind of the areas that I would highlight as more environmental justice, and particularly when we start looking at contaminants. And then we don't know, you know, is there, where the microplastics are? Is there a greater incidence of microplastics in environmental justice areas or not? That's something we should be looking at. And that's why starting a statewide assessment with all the agencies looking at microplastics can help us guide on preventing that contamination.
Representative Acomb, can you follow up?
Thank you so much for the clarification. I appreciate hearing about that, so thank you.
Thank you. Vice Chair Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Chair Hansen, for bringing this together. I know this is a little bit different about how things are normally done with our clean water, but I think that this is an important, we all agree that this is different, but we all also agree that we need to do something about this. This is money that Minnesotans voted overwhelmingly to have go towards protecting their water, and that money is there that they gave us to protect our water. One other environmental justice point I would perhaps highlight, Mr. Chair, would be the highways and tire runoff. We know that highways are and increased road usage happens more in low income and communities of color. And so I am glad that we're going to be studying tire runoff as it pertains to our water. I represent Northeast Minneapolis. We have a couple of highways running through here. Cross River is North Minneapolis, it's the same river. And there are people who fish in the river in my district. And so I'm glad that we're looking at the impacts of our roads and our tires on that. But I am curious more about two things. One would be the Conservation Corps and how we're engaging children and new people into our environment and careers there. Could you talk a little bit more about what the Conservation Corps is doing and what and how this bill could impact future generations for inspiring them to work in the outdoors or get involved in water conservation?
Chair Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Jordan. The Conservation Corps is really the folks who are out in the field doing the work. And I know that they have made an extensive effort, particularly at diversifying their workforce. I know one challenge they've had is that their pay has not kept up with kind of the rest of the world. And I'm hoping that with this investment, they are shy about their good work. And I don't know, Mr. Chair, if you've had them in front of your committee, but they are shy about their good work. They're hesitant to ask for more. And I know that they do good work. They're engaging more people and providing them with some additional dollars, I think, can not only make them competitive to continue to have a vibrant workforce of getting people into the outdoors. I don't know if it was, is it Representative Acomb who started working in the Conservation Corps and now found her way here? So I think it's really important. And if there's a flood and or stream bank stabilization and you've got to get out in the water, it's often the Conservation Corps that is that out there trying to stabilize situations when those incidents happen.
Vice Chair Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Chair Hansen, I had a roommate right after college who worked in the Conservation Corps, and she would take youth out there and teach them about buckthorn and invasive species. But to supplement that work, she also had to work as a barista at Caribou while studying for grad school. So I'm glad that you're paying attention to that. I guess the other question I have is more about this peatland, some of the peatland provisions in here. I know that Representative Lippert has been a true leader in pushing for peatlands and their impact on climate. Can you talk a little bit more about what this proposal would do in terms of just details and how and what that would look like for state revenue?
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Jordan. So there are peatlands that are protected already, kind of think of the big bog up north and where they're functioning systems, but there are a lot of peatlands throughout the state that have been drained and cultivated. I think of the farm where I grew up, there was a peatland just over the hill on our property. We used to call it the itchy dirt because when we would go running in that, it would get all over you and it would itch for a long time. So there are peatlands that have been converted to agriculture. What this proposal would do with PREP is it would target that particular appropriation to those landowners who have peatlands that have been converted and who want to provide that, to restore that peatland. Now that may involve breaking tile on their own property. It may involve changing the drainage. It may involve replanting with more wetter plant, waterphilic plants. But amazingly, you know, the environment can restore itself if you give it a chance and you leave it alone and or maybe give it a nudge here and there. So these peatlands are vibrant systems, and if we restore them, they can help as being filters for water quality, but also storing carbon so that you've got that carbon underwater and rather than being continually exposed and tilled up. So again, this is a voluntary program. It would bring in $2, two federal CREP dollars for every dollar. There's a lot of peat pockets, not just broad areas around the state. And I think there are landowners who would jump to this opportunity. Probably that wetland could maybe be an opportunity for duck hunting as well. You know, there's multiple side benefits with wildlife, water quality, and carbon sequestration.
Vice Chair Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It sounds like Chair Hansen is saying that we should give Pete a chance, but that's a bad joke for this morning. But it sounds like a great project. And I know this isn't how we normally do things here with our clean water, but it sounds like there's too many good projects here that need to be done. And if the way we always did things was working, we wouldn't have all of these urgent projects around lead and conserving peat and pushing for more PFAS remediation. So I think it's time that we look at how we do things and make sure that we're actually protecting the water and the investment that Minnesotans have given us. So thank you to both chairs for having this discussion this morning.
Thank you, Vice Chair Jordan. Representative Green, good morning. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm not going to belabor this because I don't think it's going anywhere in the Senate. I don't know if you'll put it into the legacy bill or not, but if you do, I'm sure it'll be contentious. There were no testifiers from DNR, Bowser, Pollution Control Agency today. And when they did testify in the other committees, they were a little bit... I don't know to use the word tepid on this bill. The one question, I have a couple questions, but like I said, I'm not going to go very far. But
Representative Green, they folks are available today if
okay, well, that's good. If the DNR is available or whatever agency that chooses to answer, is there any possibility that this is going to affect school trust lands in any negative way? By the peat version of it.
Representative Hansen, do you have an idea of the trust land question and answer?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Green, I think you're following up from the last hearing, and I would maybe encourage Commissioner Meyer, if he's on, to elaborate on his testimony. I think he was suggesting that we buy out peat land, acquire them. So I tried very hard here, Representative Green, not to have any acquisition, because I knew that you'd be concerned by having fee title acquisition, and I was, trying to make sure we could get a bipartisan bill.
Representative Green, we have Ms. Smith here from the DNR. I don't know if maybe we could get a better, or not necessarily better, but yeah. We can get an answer. Ms. Smith, are you available? Yes. Good morning. Please introduce yourself. And if you've heard the kind of the dialogue here, if you have something to offer, that'd be great.
Yeah. Good morning, Mr. Chair, committee members. Unfortunately, I wasn't at the past hearing, but I did hear a little bit about it. And I believe Representative Green and Representative Hansen are accurate in summarizing what Assistant Commissioner Meyer had said regarding the potential for, the buyout of peatlands, but it's something we could definitely continue discussions on with the author and relevant interested parties.
Thank you, Ms. Smith. Representative Green.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and for both the answers from Chair Hansen and the agencies. Chair Hansen is absolutely right. I don't like the buying out. I do believe we need to hang on to and use our school trust lands. I'm not big on public lands, but those were set aside for a specific reason, and I don't think we're utilizing them in any good way. But where we probably differ is that if that means that we would mine the peat out of those areas and sell it for our schools, and I would be very much in favor of that. And like I said, I promised I wouldn't belabor this, and I won't. I will tell you, Chair Hansen, that even though I don't think that this is really thought out that well, because it looks like the money is just divided up and tossed out there to maybe make a point. But I don't think that any of these agencies are really prepared to do any of these things, and it might not be the best way to spend that money. The one thing I will say is that I've tried for a long time to break this, I don't want to say tradition, because it hasn't really been in place that long, but this idea that the legislature has to somehow comply with like the Water Board or Lessard Sams, because they are just giving us their, I don't know what you'd call it, I guess their opinions on how the land or money should be spent, but we are in charge of it. So on that aspect, if you can break that, that's fine. But I don't know if this bill will come back in the form of something we can vote on. But right now, for a lot of reasons, including even agriculture reasons, I don't think I can support this. Thank you for the time.
Thank you, Representative Green. Representative Wozlik, morning, please.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to highlight again, Chair Hansen mentioned this, but the PFAS, the money that's going towards PFAS monitoring efforts. I think we've had a lot of discussion about this topic in Environment Committee and in various committees where my PFAS bills and other PFAS bills have moved to. And just, I think that that's, we know that PFAS is all over the state, and we know, you know, we've had, as Chair Hansen said, we've had a warning about eating smelt from Lake Superior because of PFAS. We found it in Bemidji and the East Metro and Andover and all over the state. And I think it's really important that we act on that now. And so I appreciate Chair Hansen bringing this bill forward and saying, you know, these are important things that we know our problems already. And we know there are negative health impacts from PFAS when people are consuming it, when it gets to the drinking water. And so I just want to say thank you to Chair Hansen for recognizing that and for moving this this legislation forward to invest more in those activities. I think it's sort of one of those things where the more we test, the more we find it. So want to make sure that, you know, for those who do, whether it's getting their drinking water from a certain source or getting the fish that they eat from a certain source, wanting to know that those are safe for them to consume, and making sure that folks know if those chemicals are in the water and the fish that they're consuming. So thank you. Just want to say thank you for that. And it's an urgent issue that we need to address, and I'm glad to see movement on it.
Thank you, Representative Wozlik, and I also thank you for your leadership on many of those issues there. Representative Erdahl, good morning. Go ahead, when you're ready, sir.
Good morning, and thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to ask this of Representative Hansen, or perhaps if there's someone from the Clean Water Council. One of the concerns that has been expressed by folks is that this supplemental money has not been run through the Clean Water Council. I'm wondering why the Clean Water Council does not consider supplemental money like this. Is it something that's statutory, or what is the situation with that?
So Representative Hansen, you could answer, or we could I see Mr. Gardner's popped up as well, and I as have some opinions as well. But go ahead, Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Erdahl, you know, each of the components here were discussed in general and with testimony. We've been meeting since early February, and we've had presentations on these issues. We've had testimony on a variety of bills with each of these areas. The microplastics has been out there for 3 years. You may remember that the chair and I tried 3 years ago to pass this. And we had resistance from the Clean Water Council and the agencies because they hadn't vetted it. Now COVID hit, and we all were dealing with that, but we're coming out of COVID now. And the idea that we must wait, you know, and you know how the legislative process works, Representative Erdahl, we could be we could be passing a Clean Water Council recommendation in May or June of 2023. Whereas if we pass this right now, we can start the work that is necessary on each of these areas where we have had testimony. We have vetted. The Representative Green is correct. The money, the amounts haven't been coming from the agencies, but we clearly have had testimony from Bowser on the backlog and the capacity of our fine soil and water conservation district system to implement projects. We've had a lot of testimony in our committees and health committee about lead service lines and that there's going to be a lot of federal effort. So the capacity is there for that. We've had testimony for the great work that the Conservation Corps has done. So we've had testimony as legislators. The Clean Water Council has process. I would prefer problem solving over process. And I think Minnesotans would too.
Representative Ergall?
Hey, Mr. Chairman and Representative Hansen, Chair Hansen, I appreciate that. And I guess my question isn't so much, you know, has it been vetted enough or has there been testimony enough, but just, you know, my question basically is, why doesn't the Clean Water Council examine supplementary money as we have this year? So maybe Mr. Gardner has an answer for that.
Mr. Gardner, I'm sure you heard the question. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ooh. Oh, good. Sorry, I assume I had muted myself. You know, in statute, the Clean Water Council is advisory, so the constitutional authority to appropriate money does lie only with the legislature, so the legislature can appropriate it as it wishes. The Clean Water Council has a two-year biennial budget process. I will agree that that process can be slow. It's meant to be deliberative and a way to get a lot of input from folks. But I'd have to say we're not really equipped for a rapid response that we see with the supplemental budget process, where you have a November and February forecast and then deadlines rapidly approaching. We meet year round. We meet once a month. The legislature meets really rapidly for a short period of time between January and February and May. So you've heard topics in committees now that we haven't been able to have time to hear yet. But I will say that all of the topics are things that the council is interested in and have heard in some detail. And I will give a hat tip to Representative Hansen for getting us to pay attention to microplastics. We have had presentations on that topics and internal discussions in one of our meetings last on the 21st, many council members were asking about PFAS and microplastics, so we're going to delve into that some more. But again, the authority to spend the money lies with the legislature. The Clean Water Council has a lengthy biennial recommendations process, but we're not particularly good at the rapid response. So I guess I think that's the answer to your question, Representative. But we are watching closely, and the legislature or the council doesn't have a monopoly on good ideas. So if their ideas come in forward, we're definitely going to take a look at it.
Thank you, Mr. Gardner. Representative Erdahl?
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Mr. Gardner. I think that helps with getting some clarification on the process. So thank you.
Any further questions from the committee members? So I see Representative Anderson, you've kind of popped your face up. I didn't know if you had a question or if Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Interesting discussion this morning, you know, Clean Water Fund to preserve, protect, enhance. But maybe I'm kind of a novice on the committee, but hearing a relatively new term, this environmental justice, is being used possibly as a possible criteria for some of these projects. So just a general question to Representative Hansen. Will terms like that, in your opinion, be used going forward in selecting some of these projects that, you know, the basic premise is preserve, protect, and enhance? How much of an impact will kind of social terms like that play in the future selections.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Anderson. You know, you cited the Constitution, and the Constitution is the criteria. When we look at, there is not a statutory designation for criteria with environmental justice on these appropriations. There are monitoring projects here. I believe it's important that we look at monitoring and implementation in areas where it protects water quality and helps those, helps people. And so having, we need to look, we need to be looking. And so the plastics is everywhere. We may find that it's, there might be stronger contamination of microplastics in areas of environmental justice. So having these assessments helps us because it helps us determine how we can problem solve. Something we haven't really looked for, recognized before for many years, but it's not a criteria. But clearly, I mentioned earlier, there's a number of projects here that are going to help. And they're going to help because we know there already is a problem there. We know in the Battle Creek watershed, there's a problem. We know in Pig's Eye Dump, there's a problem. We know along the river, there are problems. And so looking more, you're going to get an extra benefit of trying to have a health assessment when you're looking at the water quality, because we know that people are using the river for more than recreation. They're using water for a variety of purposes. So environmental justice is important, but it's not in the Constitution. Perhaps it should be. If we're going to be discussing the LCCMR Environmental Trust Fund reauthorization, and that's a debate we could have there, but the Constitution language we have now is the criteria. That means we shouldn't ignore environmental justice. But we should recognize that there's environmental injustice out there.
Representative Anderson.
No, but that answers my question. Thank you.
I see Representative Murphy's hand. Go ahead, Representative Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Representative Hansen, Mr. Gardner. The constitutional amendment that passed and that the legislature has approached differently from the beginning in the House and the Senate, very differently. But we didn't create the Water Council just to have monthly meetings and explore conversation. We want action. People in Minnesota want action. People in Minnesota want action based on science, but we're not going to study it for 25 years. We've got to grasp hold with some possible solutions and go forward. And that's what this bill before us today is attempting to do. And not just have comfortable meetings for another 15 years, because we're halfway through. And yet we still haven't seen results. And we're still talking about clean water as we did in 2010. So we got to get off the dime. Let's go. Let's react. Let's do something.
Thank you, Representative Murphy. Any other questions? Chair Hansen, do you want to summarize? And then I have some comments and some discussion as well. Representative Murphy, I see your hand up again. Or was that a misfire? Okay. Chair Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I agree with Representative Murphy and also to the testimony. I think it's been, or the questions from the members. And I think it's helpful. This is what the process is. It's out as elected officials, we are out in the process. This is it. We're having a debate. I think it would be called vetting of these topics. I do want to offer to you, Mr. Chair, this is our proposal. This is your committee. I am comfortable with you making changes. There's no ownership where I'm saying don't change anything. You know, that this you've had testimony and you will have good ideas here as well. I know also like Representative Bowe had a proposal as well, and I am open to those changes if you are. So happy to hand this to you. You have an excellent committee and excellent leadership on this. And if there are changes that need to be made, please feel free. And also if there are clarifying or other changes that the agencies see to help this out on implementation, that would be welcome as well. So thank you for giving me the opportunity, and hopefully you will have the bill in possession of you shortly.
Thank you, Representative Hansen. I appreciate your kind of final comments there. That would, if we were to go down this path, I would definitely want to reach out to Representative Green and others on our committee and to shape a bill, and certainly the input of, both sides of the aisle here, and to move it forward. I'm going to kind of start backwards, at the end. I've had many conversations, as I know you have, with Chair Rood in the Senate, and there isn't much of an appetite to do these sort of things in this, this year of the cycle. I have to be honest, me as a chair, I find it extremely frustrating that this was set up, this format, before I got here, and I'm not a big fan of it. I think all the funding should be annual. So I'm guilty of not changing that or figuring it out during my time as chair, but I gotta say that I'm really uncomfortable with it. One of the great things about Lessard Sams that we're noticing here is they're able to adjust. So what happens is right now we do have this surplus, and I had an opportunity to reach out to them and to say what were your thoughts? What do you want to do? What do you envision us doing with that money? And they were able to respond because they're annual. So with the surplus, and it can happen on the opposite. You could have cuts, and we could be involved in those dialogues where we would pick and help. This whole constitutional amendment is super fascinating to me because many of us were here when it started, and we helped shape it, and we love it. But it's changed. Chair Murphy, there was not really an appetite to have libraries as part of the group. And I remember you fighting for libraries, and what a treasure they are, and not to be funded in these legacy funds would have been a grave mistake. And so I think the discussion we're having today, and the reason I embrace it as a chair, is I think it is important to have these discussions, and we grow from our members. We're a representative body, and we're close to the voters. Every one of us is up for election, and we're out talking to people constantly. And this, that's why there's so many new people coming in. There's new ideas, there's transition. That's the constitutional intent of our whole entire style of government. And so we're supposed to be responsive. But at the same time, we set up these councils, and I think Lessard Sams, is we've seen this year that, they are responding to some of the legislative questions, and they've, working on things that they hadn't traditionally done and are doing a better job. We heard talk of Conservation Corps, and I know they're doing work on that and trying to meet and get people that traditionally haven't had jobs and getting them out there working. And I know that's going on, but sometimes we forget that. But there's a lot of good things that are going on too, because of us maybe pushing and asking these questions, but so they're adapting. And I think the Clean Water Council can definitely learn from us. Chair Hansen, I got to your credit, you did move the needle on the plastics. It was we stuck some money in there, and it was not of interest, you know, at the time. And it's, I hear your frustration. I'm not guilty of, or I'm not innocent of not changing the proposals. I remember Forever Green. We put in Forever Green, and that was not a proposal. And we added that as a body, as a legislative body, we added that. And now the Clean Water Council has added that to their base and to their programming and going forward. And what a great program that is. So why can't some of these others be maybe that same scenario? It drives me crazy to have all this money sitting on the bottom. For me, you know, in other areas, in the arts, not to spend it. In the parks and trails, we could build out a couple trails in greater Minnesota, more in the metro, more, you know, maybe a couple DNR trails. I mean, so it's frustrating to see that sitting on the bottom line. I've had the discussions with Chair Root, and I know there's not an appetite in the Senate. She just had her bill pass out of committee with zero question. And I'm disappointed, and quite honestly, that we couldn't see this as a great opportunity. I think the Vice Chair Jordan and some of the other committees were spot on, or members, by saying, you know, to meet the times, to really, it's a missed opportunity. But I'm sorry to talk so long. Again, I appreciate the discussion. I think we can all continue to do a good job. I'm going to reach out to Senator Rood to keep in the Senate generally to see if there's an appetite to move some of these things. And so that's my intent as chair, and to work with our GOP members, because I think, as we've heard from Representative Green, there's appetite here to do some good work, additional good work. So with that, members, thank you for your time this morning. And I think any more business before us at this time? I don't see any hands or anything, but again, thank you everyone for your time this morning. And with that, we are adjourned.